Morning. How's everybody doing? God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to be here on this Lord's Day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm Brother Gary Smith, for those of you that don't know me, and I'm so glad to be speaking a word for the Lord today. Welcome to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ worship service. Those of you that are perhaps guests coming on, by way of someone inviting you, you're out of the city, you're out of the state, you're out of the country, stop for a moment, stop surfing, stop looking, and hopefully you'll join us for our worship service this morning. I want to thank the brothers that have come before me. Thank you for tuning in this morning in Houston, Texas. God is good, and we just thank him for blessing us to be here to enjoy. This is the, if I'm not mistaken, this is the one-year anniversary of the last time that we assembled here together here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. 1 year ago, this was the last Sunday, the second Sunday in March, that we were able to worship together. My. And so God is good. And well, we thank him. We're getting closer. We've been getting calls and texts and emails, and everybody wondering when we are going to come back together. And we thank our elders, our shepherds, for watching out for the flock and being diligent and as safe as we can. When we come back, we want to stay back, though. Amen. You know, and so be patient with the leaders as they examine what's going on. And we appreciate you so much for those of you that have been not missed, skipped a beat. You have missed a service. Because we were able to bring it to you by live stream, YouTube, Facebook, whatever way, conference call, whatever way we could. Not only that, if you were watching the announcements before our worship service began, announcement slides, you see that we not sitting resting on our laurels. And our ministry leaders, our Bible school teachers, many of them are just planning, just like we all still physically together. And we appreciate that. We appreciate our ministry leaders. And so let's get into our lesson this morning. A couple of weeks ago, we began a study we entitled Seven Churches. And I want to continue the study today. I'm going to read. I actually turned in the wrong scripture to Brother Barry. Brother Lassane read. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 1. In verse 10, Revelation 1:10. You got your coffee, you're sitting up, you got both eyes open. Come on, I'm not going to say get out of the cover. I know some of you are still in the bed. But we are at worship, and we want to honor God, amen? And we can't honor God doing everything else but worshiping. And I know you like me, I can't do, but I know my wife sometimes, she can do two or three things at a time. I can't do but one thing at a time. And let's give God the glory and honor that he is due this morning. Revelation 1:10, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. The Apostle John, we did a history last couple of weeks, and I don't want to spend all the time doing the history. We know that through the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John is the inspired writer of the book of Revelation. Most scholars would say that he may have been the very last apostle that was left. He was up in age. He had been exiled by the Roman Emperor Domitian, who exiled or expelled him because he was preaching the gospel. And he put him on the island of Patmos. Didn't kill him because John, even at that time, there were many Christians and he was popular and the old man. He didn't kill him, but I know he wanted to kill him. But God was still using him at an older age, at a seasoned age. Can God use us at a seasoned age? Yes, he can. It says he was in the spirit on the less significant. He was in the spirit. It wasn't just, you know, when we come to worship, and when we're worshiping God, we're not just going through the motions. Hopefully this morning, you are in the spirit. It's different than just sitting. It's different than just going to your job. Your mind is focused. Not only your mind, God wants us to love him with our heart, our mind, our soul. He wants us to love him emotionally also. And so he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord. He was concentrating, looking forward to the Lord's day. And today, the first day of the week, is the Lord's day. It's the day that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. And I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, man. And we are reading what the Holy Spirit gave John to write. He says, write it to the seven churches. And he names the churches: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. He said he named the churches. And as to why these seven churches were chosen, well, we know even many times in the book of Revelation, it uses the seven. Seven is the number of completeness. And so by no means was this letter meant to just be read to these seven churches. It also, there were many churches even in the first century who were in existence. You have the church of, some of you know the passage in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, as I give orders to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Galatia, there were churches in Galatia, there were churches in Thessalonica, there was a church in Corinth, there was a church, so there were many other churches, but he gives these names of these churches, and it seems to be deliberate, and as it's a metaphor for completeness. Go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. Genesis 2, 2. By the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day, a day of completeness, a day of the number of completeness. And these particular seven churches may have been chosen to receive Christ's message because they were geographically in a very popular established circular route. I have a map. If you pull the map up on your screen, and you see these seven churches are in a very popular trade route. Many individuals from all over the world travel these circles, and you see the Isle of Patmos in which John was exiled too, and you see Galatia here and Cyprus, and there was a church in Antioch, of course, the church in Jerusalem, even a church in Bethlehem, all these, and so these were on a circular route, and they were in this distance, and no doubt these letters were to be read in these churches and then to be circulated in all the churches. Notice this one letter included all this admonition to all these churches. So all the churches heard this admonition that John the apostle through the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ was given to all the churches. And he wanted all of them to hear the same thing then, and not only to all of those churches, but even to churches today. And there's a lesson that God is giving to these churches back then, and he's also giving to us now. And so the letter is definitely relevant. It's relevant. And some of you say, well, Brother Gary, I'm an individual. Yes, it's relevant to churches, but you'll also see that it is relevant to us as individual Christians. Amen. Yes, it's a powerful study. And one thing that's striking to me, also significant as we're studying, and we are studying the Word of God, as we're studying, is that, you know, when the Bible gives these names, and the names, he gives the names of the locations, and when he's identifying these churches, the cities, and that's all he gives. That's all the Holy Spirit gives is the names of where the churches were. And to me, that's significant, you know. Sometimes people ask you the question, what faith are you? Or what denomination are you? Well, the Bible really don't know anything about, doesn't call out denominations when it's giving the name of the church. Amen. That's significant. Don't you think that's significant? 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit we have all been baptized into one body, right? Whether you're Jew, Gentile, that covers everybody. Either you're a Jew or you're a Gentile. If you're not a Jew, then that's most of us in. That's probably listening to me right now. Whether you be slave or free, we're all made to drink of one spirit, the Bible says. And so the Bible, when it identifies the churches, it says the church where the location. So during this time, there was but one church. in the Bible, and it just causes, you know, some what denomination are you? Well, I'm this, I'm that. Well, that's foreign to the Bible, especially all the denominations we have right now. And so who are you, Brother Gary? Well, we are the church in Fifth Ward. The Fifth Ward is a location, right? That's all. Don't brag on Fifth Ward too much. It's the location. So there was a church at Ephesus, a church at Smyrna, a church at Pergamos, the church at Thyatira, the church at Philadelphia, the church at Sardis, the church at Laodicea. And that's what the church was known. You look in the Bible in 1 Corinthians, to the church of God at Corinth, to the churches of Galatia. And then in Romans 16, the churches of Christ salute you. So what was the church called? It was the church of Christ, the church of God. And so when the letter, he's written the letter, the people, the churches that were receiving, they knew that it was from God. And so I just make that point. Yeah. And we began with the church at Ephesus, Ephesus is named first. It's the church that Paul, the Apostle Paul, on one of his journeys established. You know, Apollos preached there. In Acts chapter 19, we see an example of the church at Ephesus. Of course, the letter that Apostle Paul wrote through the Holy Spirit of the book of Ephesians. And you read that on your own. That's some good reading. But it was the church, but the church had some problems. And it's the church that the scripture said. Let me begin reading in Revelations 2:1. The scripture says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. The book of Revelation speaks in many metaphors, but also it explains itself. And so don't be disillusioned. I kind of stay away from the book of Revelation. You don't understand something, you don't like to read it too much. But there is much meaning in the letter that John writes to the churches. For instance, it says to the who holds the seven stars. Well, what are the seven stars, Brother Gary? Well, Revelation 1:20 makes it very clear. Revelation 1:20, listen to this. As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, the seven and the seven golden lampstand, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So each church had an. I'd like to believe that churches that follow God's will, I like to believe that an angel has been designated for the church. Doesn't interfere, but believe it through the scriptures. We know that God knows everything that goes on in the church. Amen. Nothing misses him. And here in this letter, he says to the angel that holds the seven stars, and then it says the seven lampstands are the seven churches. And so we have a metaphor in verse 1. It says the seven stars in his right hand, and one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, who walks among the seven churches. Yeah. Yeah, he also uses his right hand. The right hand is significant in Scripture. It means something. Mark 14:62, and Jesus said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. Yeah, that right hand is a sign of authority, of power, of importance. And he says he was holding the seven stars in his right hand. And the Scripture says, and coming with the clouds of heaven, Jesus, when he left earth, the scripture says in Mark 16:19, so then when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. I don't know about you, but even the scriptures in Matthew chapter 25, he says, and the sheep were on the right hand. I want to be on the right hand. Yeah, you can choose the left if you want to, but just put me on the right hand. the right hand of God. He was holding the stars in his right hand. It's the hand of power, the hand of authority. Give the angels authority. And then he goes on to say in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, I know your deeds and your labor. That's what the scripture says to the church at Ephesus. It says, I know your deeds and your labors. Don't miss that. Don't miss that, and especially in our world, at a time when there is so much focus on the grace of God, which, Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Amen. And you don't miss the labor or the work. Amen. See, I think there's a misconception about works. And see, because we quote this passage, we're saved by grace through faith, not of your works that any man can boast. We know that we can't earn our way to heaven. No way. Nothing we can do that win enough points that we, in good graces with God, that God going to let us go to heaven because we working so hard. Amen. We're saved because God sent his only begotten son to this earth to die for all of our sins. But don't misunderstand this passage, though. See, you got to know the difference between, let me read it in the Bible because you don't want my opinion. Romans 3:20. Because by the works of the law, none of mankind will be justified. See, you need to know what the works of the law are. It says this. For through the law comes knowledge of sin. Then Romans 3:28. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Okay. So you need to know what the works of the law. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Galatians 2:16. Nevertheless, knowing that a person is not justified, made right, made pure, made clean by works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, since by works of the law, no flesh will be justified. I know you're asking the question, what's the works of the law, Brother Gary? Galatians 3:10. For all who are works of the law are under curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Now, I don't have time to cover you every work of the law, but you read the Old Testament, you see that many of the works of the law were ordinances. They had to sacrifice animal sacrifices, works of the law. They had meritorious works. Keeping holy days were works of the law. These various ordinances, foods you could eat, foods you cannot eat, work you could not do. Don't work on the Sabbath day. Works of the law. Amen, somebody. And we're not justified by works of the law. Thank the law. We're not still under the law of Moses. We're under better law, established on better promises. And yes, we are under the law of grace, listen, and truth. And so it's not that we, see, when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, we got a ticket to heaven, which some folks teach. Which some folks emphasize that there is nothing that you can do to take you out of God's grace. Lord, I mean, what scripture is that? Amen. Yes, and so, and here when the Holy Spirit gives John to write this letter, he says, tell the angel sees everything that's going on in the church. And he says, I know your works, I know your labor, and your, he uses two equivalent words. I know your deeds and your works and your labors. Yeah, and so when the scripture uses works of the law, it's talking about meritorious works that ignore the sacrifice and mission of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're trying to, and see, now, And even you know, because people work for different reasons. Amen. You know, and so you know, people do things for different reasons, and so no work can save us. Listen to James chapter 2, but don't get the scripture wrong. James chapter 2, verse 14. What use is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one says to him, go in peace, he be warned and be filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? What use is faith when the faith is not doing nothing? That's my understanding of that scripture. You say you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith by your works. Yeah. Listen to this in John 3:36. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life. See, some people stop right there. One who believes in the Son has it. I know folk on the street. I know winos around the wine cooler will say, oh, man, you believe in Jesus? Oh, brother, glory, hallelujah. Let me take a drink. I believe in Jesus. There are many individuals who believe. The scripture says in James chapter 2 that the devils believe and tremble. Some of us believe we're not scared of God. We believe, we'll believe and go do the devilment right after we say we believe. Now, I know nobody watching, nobody here, but some folk do that. Bible says the devils believe and tremble. They're afraid because they know the wrath of God. They know the judgment of God. And he says, and so don't stop there. Listen to the rest of this passage. But the one who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. And you teach it, just teach it all. You just teach it all. And the angel says to the church at Ephesus, he says, I know your deeds, and I know your labors, and we have not even gotten to Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, where the Bible says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord, yea, said the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Yeah. No work, no rest. Amen. What you need to rest for? I mean, I've been doing no. I've been doing no work. Lord have mercy. And so the angel writes to the church and he says, I know your deeds and your labors. Now, but he speaks it in a positive light. He speaks it in a positive light. And I love it, the Lord, I love it that God gives this model of when you give an instruction to somebody, when you're trying to encourage somebody, don't start off with the bad they're doing. He starts off with the positive and starts off with good. We need to learn that when we're talking to folks. When we are employers who have employees. Now, anybody can break a person down. Anybody can say when somebody's doing something wrong. Anybody can point that out. When somebody doing something right, how about pouring that out? He says, I know your works and I know your labors. He says, and perseverance. So the church at Ephesus was a established working church. Amen. Amen. Now you know this is written for us to examine ourselves, right? And see, now, yes, it's written to the church collectively, but it's also written to us individually. Because we can't hide by, because you know everybody in the church not doing work. Amen. Right? I wondered, I get some amens online with that one. Everybody in the church not, some folks just floating. I better stay on the positive, right? Yeah, I'm going to stay on the positive. He says, I know your labors, your deeds, and persevere. And I'm telling you what, one thing you might as well get ready for. If you're not ready, I know, Lord, I think the Christian life is the best life. But I tell you what, we need some perseverance. Then we need, don't we need perseverance right now? Then we need perseverance. Aren't you? We didn't think 2020 was going to leave, and now 2021 is here, and we still need some. Yeah, we need some perseverance. That's why folks getting so excited. This vaccine is out, and folks getting the vaccine now. And folks, we think we Superman, Superwomen, and folks just getting out. Tell you what, you better slow down. And be wise, amen. And we're gonna persevere. They persevere. And that you listen. This is positive. And that you cannot tolerate evil people. He's writing to the church now, and he's saying to the church, I'm glad you. I know your works. I know your deeds. You persevere, and you don't tolerate foolishness in the church. It's not to say that everybody in the church is perfect. But I tell you what, the scripture says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You let evil continue. You let a brother, it's a church, especially a church outside. Now, this is just an example, and I'm not talking about nobody. I'm not going to say the old folk, like some people say, if the shoe fit. you let a brother in the church, let's call him player number one. You let a player get loose in the church and start playing on many of the sisters in the church. And we have six elders in the church who are shepherds who watch the flock and who don't do their job. They do their job, but who refuse to call, check that brother and say, listen, what, son, hold up now. I'm getting too many reports. You can't be chased. You can't be. Do I need to speak any further? And this church, they didn't tolerate evil folk in the church. Now, we all have our issues. We all have our problems. We all working on our problems. Amen. But for someone to deliberately, to purposely cause harm to a sheep, to a person in the church, to an adult, to a seasoned saint, to a child, somebody needs to call them out in the church. Oh, and this church, it seems, did that. It says, and you have put those who call themselves apostles to the test. That's doctrine, that. He said, now, Some folks in the church want to call themselves an apostle. And this lesson is not on the apostles. He says, and you put them in their place. There's some folk today who call themselves. Now, the word apostle means one who's sent. Now, it describes one who is sent, not no one who's sent by God. But nobody is an original apostle. They're all dead and gone. Amen. Including John, who writes this letter. He's not here today. And if you want to know the qualifications of a true apostle, I don't have time to go through it all. Read Acts chapter 1. It'll give you the quality. It's one who must have witnessed the ministry of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ physically died on the cross. And he's at the right hand of the Father. So are you an apostle? Male or female? And he says, you call apostles to the test, and they are not, and you found them to be false. See, sometimes the church needs to call out false doctrine. And now, in our day and age, we're getting less and less of that. Because it's scary. Because you call somebody out, they put you on social media, and somebody be picking it outside of the church, And boy, I tell you, to be the church that's pleasing to God. Whoo, I need to hurry because I haven't gotten to my, let me hurry. That's what you're doing good. And you have perseverance and you have endured on account of my name. See, this church at Ephesus, boy, they had a lot going on and have not become weary. Man, I was thinking about our church. When I say our church, the location, the church in Fifth Ward. And I was thinking about how, I was asking myself the question, well, I wonder how we're doing. Are we persevering? Are we working? We have labor. Because God surely is watching. And it seemed like to me an angel is watching. And I just asked the question. I know, you know, some of you can answer that better than I can. He said, don't grow weary. Don't get tired. Don't wrestle. Yeah, I remember, boy, we used to do this, and I remember when we had camp, and ooh, I remember when we did the day. You remember when we did the day of good works? We had 2,000 people coming in. Ooh, you remember that? That's in the past, isn't it? Yeah, the question is, what Janet Jackson sang that song, What Have You Done For Me? You didn't know I knew that song? Some of y'all don't even know it. But it says, but I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Wow. Ooh, that sticks. It sticks. He said, you left your first love. And he goes on to say, therefore, remember from where you've fallen and repent. Repent means to turn from. And do the deeds you did at first. That's what he says. Or else I'm coming to you. Oh, my goodness. I need to finish this. Let me finish this. See, it seems like this church was doing a good job. They were doing the Lord's work, and they were speaking against false doctrine. They were upholding the word of God. But something happened. Oh, and see, this is profound to me because I was thinking of all these churches. I was reading through this. I said, boy, this could be us. This could be us because we have a mature church. We've been around a long time, and we have seasoned saints. We have middle aged. We have young, and we've done some wonderful things for the Lord. And I think we've been standing on the doctrine. But I just wonder. I hope we don't get in what's called, I call, the obligation mode. You know, I know I got to go to church, I'm gonna come. Some of us on Sundays. That's why we've had a hard time with this pandemic. Some of us, our cars knew we were going to church. On Sundays. Your car just crank up. I'm ready for you. Drive you to church. You ain't know where you're going. but we had to change things up a little bit, didn't we? And it's been testing. And testing tests our love for God. It does. What will we do when things... And it seemed like this church got in this obligation mode, and they were just going through the motions. Amen. Oh, they were there at church. Yeah, we were at church. And oh, yeah, we worship today. And I go to Bible class. We even open our Bible and we read it, but it's like we reading through it. You know, we read, but I haven't read that before. Well, let me see. Ray got us reading through this Bible. I haven't read all this before. Thinking of 1 Corinthians 14:15, I believe it says, I will pray with the Spirit. Now, this is what the scripture says. I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. Now, of course, we need to know what the truth is. We need but God wants more than just us going through the motion. You can tell when your marriage gets a little stale. You can tell when your marriage gets stale. Yeah, you going through, been mad a little while, and you get up in the morning, you used to kiss, and now you're pecking. You kiss, you used to hug, now you're touching. You used to smile when you're coming, hey, baby, how you doing? Now you just come in, hey, baby. Hey, sugar. Yeah, you still cooking him dinner, but Lord have mercy, God, smile a little bit. He said, you can tell what you're singing. He says, I'll pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the also. I understand now. He said, I will sing with the, you can tell when somebody. Oh. It seemed like they just was, you know. That's why, listen, we can sing and not be singing. because we know all the songs. Some of us even we don't have to open a song book. And we sing the song. Brother Barry was singing, "So I'm glad morning when this life is over." A few minutes ago, "I'll fly away." We sing, "I'll fly away." Are we really going to fly away? Yeah. I really love the Lord. I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't know what he's... Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me the victory, and that's why I love... Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. This is what Jesus says, and I'm ending, I'm closing. He says, repent and do the deeds which you did at first, or else I'm coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand from its place. Sometimes, see, when does the church not be the church? See, if the Lord removes the lampstand, oh, the angel stops watching. Unless you repent, but you have this. I'm going to stop because I don't want to get an explanation of the Nicolaitans. And I just want to remind us, I want to remind not only this church, but us as individuals and any church. You see, I want to remind us that God wants our hearts. He wants our devotion. He wants our love. And I got to ask the question, does God deserve our love? See, one of the things that we do in our marriages, even with our children, sometimes children do it to parents, sometimes parents do it to children. We start taking each other for granted. And we stop showing our love. We stop doing, they deserve it. You know they do. We take the things they do. Sometimes all you need to do is repent, change your mind, start, listen, reminisce on how good it is, how good God is, how good God has been with us, to us. And we need to remind ourselves that God is love and we should be loving him and showing him love. Oh, that mercy. Yeah, let's fall in love. We sing a song. I keep falling in love with him over and over again. Let's keep falling in love. Let's don't be guilty of that one as a church and as an individual. You're here today, you're not a member of his church. Yeah, the church you can read about in the Bible. No denomination. Yeah, no faiths. There's one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope you're calling, one Lord, one faith. And you notice this instruction is written to all the churches. All the admonition he's given is meant for every church that he writes to, every church today. The church that Jesus Christ died for. And you need to be a member of that church, of this church. That's why we're going through all these fundamental, foundational teachings, because we were trying to bring individuals into Christ's church where the saved are. Yes, and you need to be baptized. We've been baptized. Thank the Lord, even during this pandemic, individuals have been coming to Christ. They've been studying God's word and realizing I'm not in the right relationship with Jesus Christ and his church. And we've been baptizing individuals. Every you want to be baptized, that puts you into Christ by faith, belief in Jesus Christ, repenting of all your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized in water. God adds you to his church. Church, you can read about it in the Bible. If you have a prayer request, we can pray for you. We'll pray for you. Won't you come? Even call us at this time after we sing the song of invitation.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to its brink. Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink.